Amen. That does sound like home, doesn't it? I'd like you to take God's word, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I appreciate our parents. I do appreciate our parents that are making sure your kids can be here to participate in what we've got going on. That's something, again, like everything else we're working on, we're going to continue to build on as the days go by. Getting our youth involved. I want them to know from the earliest of the years of their life that I am extremely interested in having them a part of what God is doing here. And they may go on in their lives and do something other than work in the ministry or something related to that. But I don't want it to be because they had a disinterested pastor and a disengaged pastor who wasn't actively pursuing them and trying to get them to connect with overall what the Lord is doing in our ministry. Well, I would like you to look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 this evening. We have a lot to communicate to you, and there's a lot that we want to share with you that the Lord certainly has been sharing with us, and I'm excited to do that, and I hope that you're excited to do that. I guess until we go a little bit further down the road, I need to be a little bit more descriptive when I talk about the vision service, because, you know, a Baptist might be with us and think I'm fixing to give some kind of, you know, something from heaven, like I saw today, and that is not at all the goal of our vision service. The goal of it is to communicate to you basically where we have come from as a church this past year and where by God's grace we are going and will go this upcoming year, just to kind of emphasize a theme that the Lord has placed in our heart and something that you're going to be hearing emphasized in the upcoming year, to share a church calendar, to go over that calendar, just so that we begin our year together on the same page. And so if you'll look at with me, please, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it will be where our theme verse and our theme for this upcoming year is derived. And one of the things we're going to do this year is we're going to teach and preach through the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, because I believe it provides for us such a wonderful model for what we should have as a church today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to listen in particular to verse number 7, because Paul talks about what God has done in Macedonia, and Paul talks about what God has done in the saints of Thessalonica who are in the region of Macedonia, and he says what God has done and how you have responds and how you have responded to what God has done and what God is doing leads you to be an example to other churches in the area. He says in verse number 7, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. In other words, what God had did with them and what God was doing with them was something that should be going on in all the churches in the area of Macedonia and Achaia. And then notice particularly what Paul cites as what should be exampled by those churches. He says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. Now notice what happens here. There's a testimonial review that begins to permeate the region concerning the saints at Thessalonica. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, just a little background here. Paul was in Thessalonica for 21 days, and he came preaching the gospel of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He done so in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He done so in faith and in assurance and in the power of God. Well, the results were obvious. The Thessalonians turned from idols to serve the living God, and then they remained steadfast, and they actually began to wait and to look for the appearing of Jesus Christ. And do you know how we know that they were turned from idols to serve the true and the living God? And do you know how we know that they were waiting for the glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ? Because they were active about sharing the word that they were saved by, and they were active about spreading the news that led to them being delivered from idols, so that not only did those in Thessalonica hear, but all those churches and all those peoples in the areas of Macedonia and Achaia. And Paul said, every place I'm going is talking about what God has done with you and what God is doing in you. You are sounding out the word of the Lord. Verse number 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Now that phrase, those two words, sounded out, means to echo forth. It means to resound. It means to sound forth. And to put it in modern vernacular, it means to make some noise. They could not stop talking about what God had done in them and what God was doing with them by the person of Jesus Christ. What's going on? You guys were worshiping idols. You've stopped. What's going on? You guys have your eyes on the skies. What's going on? What's going on? You guys who were once talking about false gods and false actions of faith are now talking about a man named Jesus Christ, who you say has liberated and delivered you from the wrath of God to come. What's going on? And what did they get to do? They got to tell what was going on. His name is Jesus, and what He does is saved to the uttermost. He transforms our innermost desires to reflect His utmost desires, so that we can do what is His good and acceptable and perfect will for our lives. Amen. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. I'd like you all, please, to mark that phrase in your Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not speak anything. You're getting the job done. So what is our theme for this upcoming calendar year? Our theme is making Christ known. Let's say that together. Making Christ known. We experienced His presence this morning. How many of you would like others to be experiencing His presence? Amen. It's not enough for us to say we're on our way to heaven, but it is for us to give ourselves so that others can know Jesus Christ, who is the way to heaven. So what is our theme? Our theme is making Christ known. You say, now, Brother Justin, that's already on our bulletins.
that's already been somewhat introduced to our church. You're right, when I first came, I introduced this to our church. But this past fall, I had Brother Craig Shaver pull the demographics of Catoosa County. And I was absolutely shocked at what I read. There had been a recent article written by someone who had broke down the religious demographics of our county and had pointed out that Catoosa County was leading in lostness in Northwest Georgia, which to me, not that I needed any confirmation from the Lord, was absolutely confirmation from the Lord for one of the reasons why I struggled with the idea of God bringing me to Catoosa County to be at this church. Because I said to my wife, where I was at, I could see a need. When you get down toward Atlanta, there's no independent Baptist churches save one inside the perimeter of Atlanta. I knew the need of the gospel. There's millions of people down there. I knew that it was obvious that there needed to be a church planting effort, a soul winning effort, a gospel campaign going on. But I was puzzled. I could think of multiple and dozens of good churches in our county and in the lower Chattanooga area. And I said to her, I said, of all the places on the planet, how is it that God is bringing us here? That had nothing to do with this church. I didn't even know you at that point. I could not figure out why God would bring us here with all the gospel light. I can point to a million places on this terrestrial ball that don't have any light. Why not send me there? And you know what I find out? And I take it personal, and I hope you do. I find out that our county is leading in lostness. 59% of the residents that make up our county and our city bears the exact same statistics. 59% of the residents that make up our county, they claim no religious affiliation. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, I must say it this way, as the Lord addressed the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, our county may be replete with churches, but our county is replete with churches in name only. We have a name that we live, and obviously we are dead, because one of the things that the author of this article cited was how many Baptist churches was in Catoosa County, and in his words are supposed to be known for evangelism and evangelistic efforts. And I say to you right now, I am not content with being a part of a church that is not actively working to make a dent in the darkness and taking personally that our county is lost and that God has placed us here to shine the bright light of Jesus Christ so that people can be delivered from false religion and from dead idols and turn and serve the living and the true God. Now, I believe unless there's a transfer of burden from the Lord's heart to our heart about His heart for the lostness of our community, then there's a gap that God is waiting to be bridged. I'll quote somebody else's testimony concerning our church. Recently, this was there. They wasn't here this morning, because I'm sure anybody that was here this morning could leave with that testimony for this our church. But the individual said to me, it is refreshing, listen carefully, it is refreshing to walk in a place where it is obvious God is working. Forgive me. If you're coming to church here and it's not obvious to you that God is at work, please, please ask yourself, why is it not obvious to you that God is at work? So many people come in and they leave and they talk about what God is doing here, what God is doing here, what God is doing here. I don't think that's unusual to you. I don't think that makes us special in the sense that we should be high and lifted up and become prideful to you. But I'm thankful tonight that it is obvious to most people looking on that God in heaven has created a holy stir in this place, and He is moving in our hearts, and our hearts are musing of a good matter, and that good matter is that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man, and that He died for every man. He was buried and rose again the third day, and we're not satisfied with setting on the gospel, but we are here to actively share the gospel light of Jesus Christ. If I ever lose my passion for souls, somebody needs to sit me down and talk to me, because something is not right. Now, my beloved, our theme for this year is making Christ known. I want us to rally together in our community to make Christ known. In the words of Craig Shaver, hashtag, I want to change the statistics, amen. I would like, Brother Phil, because of our being here, that if that same man does another demographic study and cites another article, that he can't write it without mentioning Catoosa Baptist Tabernacle. Has evidently got on the ball for God, because what was 59% is now something less. And then he can reference a church that is actively sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, John MacArthur, who I do not agree with everything that he says, because I don't agree with everything he believes, made a statement recently. If you want to know how well your church is doing, cut the lights on. I mean, the real lights. Cut the music program out and have a man stand in front of them and open God's word and begin to teach and preach, and you'll find out what you've got. I feel a preaching storm coming on. Somebody say amen. I've said it for years. I know it to be true. You take the song and dance out of the majority of places and you open up nothing but the word of God and say, hey, I've got a word. It came from the Lord. Let's rightly divide it. Let's read it, understand it, apply it. Let's live it. Let's shout to the housetops what we've heard in our homes, that Jesus saves. His word's alive. He's alive. His spirit's alive. He's working in our generation. My beloved, I'm not here to create some kind of program that will overshadow the person of Jesus Christ. I'm here to say we've got a message. We've got a story to take to the nations. We've got a story to tell. Jesus saves, amen. Jesus saves. And you know what I believe God's program is? Those whom Jesus has saved tell others how they were saved, so that people who are lost can be found. Do you believe that? I believe one of God's overarching goals for my life is for me to mobilize others about sharing with others what Jesus Christ has done for them. At this point, you're saying, Brother Justin, you've been kind of like talking about this stuff since you've came. You're right. And I said this, if I ever stop talking about it, y'all check on me, because something's going wrong. Because my pursuit of Christ will always be directly reflected by my passion for souls. You can't love Jesus without loving what He loves. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I, for one, am thrilled to death He is. Somebody say amen. So, I ask you this question. How can you and I take it personal? The lostness of our community, the lostness of our county. And I guess I should say, for all of my brothers and sisters in Christ in our community that might take what I just said and think I'm applying it immediately to their church, I am not. I don't know whose church is doing what in our community. I only pastor one church, and I'm only primarily concerned about what we're doing to dent the darkness. Somebody says amen. I just know this. When somebody tells me that my county is one of the most lost in the region, I've got a burden. And I want to do something about it. And I believe that God in heaven is bringing us together for such a time as this, in this hour, to do something about it. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever, in all your years of being saved, been used of the Lord to influence a lost person to be saved? If you have, you know it's a thrill and a joy that you cannot, you think this morning, as much as our cup was running over, you have no clue till someone by your own hands and your own heart and your own mouth, you get to share with them how Jesus saved you, and how by simple faith in Christ alone, they can be saved. There is no experience as a believer that is more fulfilling or more rewarding when it comes to practice of our faith than being used of God to bring somebody else to faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, if you've never led anybody to the Lord, would you like to be used of God to lead someone to the Lord? Here's what happens. When the army of God mobilizes and organizes and gets a heart for what God has a heart for and become active in what God in heaven is active in right now, and that is bringing men to Jesus, I promise you, as sure as I'm standing on 2 feet before the end of calendar year 2020, if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't return, God in heaven will use our church to influence people that are lost to be found and saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like the Lord to use you this year? I would say this, that if you would, we're going to give you an opportunity as a church to get equipped to take the great commission of Jesus Christ personally. I talked with Brother Rick at the early part of the fall of last year, and I said to him, Brother Rick, I would like to get all of our adult Bible classes, our college and career class, and our high school class to go through the curriculum, take it personally, and to all do it together. Do you think that's a good idea? He said he does, so if y'all don't talk to him, he'll explain to you why he thought it was. No, I'll cut the cutting out. I, for years, have watched us be guilty of telling people, hey, this is what you should do, and then not giving them the training and the tools to go and do what we're telling them to do. Amen. How many of y'all with me? Amen. So what we have here is we have all of our teachers equipped. I gave this to them back before this year started, to give them 2 months to prepare, to bounce things off of me, to ask questions if they have any. We've got these student handbooks. And here is my goal. My goal is to get as many willing hearts and as many willing hands in our local church into one of our adult Bible classes or our high school class or our college and career class beginning on March of this year, and March and April, go through this training together, go through this study together, get training, get foundational, fundamental training for how to share with somebody what you already believe and what has transformed your life, and to be able to transfer truth from you to those who have already been saved, maybe share with them what it means to be eternally secure. We want to equip you to be able to actively share your faith and see someone come to faith in Jesus Christ. So here's what you're going to be hearing. You're going to be hearing me emphasize, beg, plead, please, 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 please. If you've not come to an adult Bible class yet, come to one. Sign up. We've got a book just for you. And then here was my thoughts beyond that, because I know we get sick. I know Satan hates everything I'm saying right now, and he will make sure 99 things will come up at least 2 Sundays during the 8 weeks we're going to do this. And so I had another brilliant idea. If one mature Christian will say to another Christian that's in that adult Bible class, hey, I missed last week, will you take about 30 minutes and get with me and help me go over what I missed last week? Do you know what that's going to encourage? That's going to encourage what we need to be doing with people who are lost. And do you know who you get to experience that with? First of all, somebody that you are comfortable with, another believer in Jesus Christ. And so here's my goal. My goal is to get as many as of you are willing. And I believe every one of you are willing already. Rowdy said, yep, and I know. Right? I want to get every single adult, every teenager, every college and career. I want to get you in one of our classes, high school, college and career. Our adult Bible class is going to do it in the auditorium. It's an easy place to come in. We've got 3 great teachers in here. Then you've got Brother Monty's class and Brother Greg Haddock, who's going to be helping, and they're working together in that class to teach and train and disciple. And then you've got Brother Doug and Brother Glenn Kilgore in their class. And then you've got me and Brother Craig Shaver and Brother Chris Paradise in our class and Sister Wilson in her class, where every single one of us, Brother Doug Hawkins in his class, are going to be working together. Brother Scott in his class, we're all going to be working together to do the exact same thing in March and April, and that is to teach others and train others how to take personally the great commission of Jesus Christ. And can I say it this way? Take personally the lostness of our county. There may be people leave this county lost without Jesus Christ, but I hope it's not because we haven't took it personally. And I hope that you and I in our generation will do what has been done in prior generations, and that is be used of God to shine the gospel light of Jesus Christ in our community. Amen. So, beginning in March, we're going to be in, you're going to hear me encouraging for 2 months to get in one of our adult Bible classes. Again, if a smaller setting scares you to death, come to the auditorium. It's wide open. They'd be happy to have you in here. We're all going to do the same thing, but I'm begging you now as your pastor, please don't forfeit this personal training on how to take the great commission of Jesus Christ personally. I believe if all of us are equipped to more aptly share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and just a quarter of us are more active in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, this upcoming year, we will see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. How many of y'all want to see people saved this year? So do I. Take it personally. So our theme emphasis, we're going to emphasize our theme in our adult Bible classes and our other classes, high school, college, and careers, and up, and getting involved in March and April of going through Take It Personally, owning and obeying the Great Commission. I'll be talking more about that in the days to come. On Sunday nights, we'll be preaching a series of messages from 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, emphasizing what great truths that Thessalonica got that they yielded themselves to that led them to being such a dynamic witness for Christ in their region that made them an example church. We've got multiple songs that we will use as theme songs that we will sing on a Sunday night as we get ready to dismiss. On Wednesday night, one of the things that I emphasized this past Wednesday night that God in heaven put in my heart to emphasize every Wednesday night is before we leave our church on Sunday night, I tell you, when we have on our altar of prayer on this upcoming Wednesday night, what we're going to pray for in specific together as a church is we're going to get on those altars and we're going to pray, Lord, this upcoming Sunday, bring people to these altars that will have their life forever altered by you. I'm going to tell you this, if a church is seeking to share the gospel and praying actively every week that God in heaven gives the increase, it won't be but a matter of time. And we're going to have people that were testifying. How many of y'all heard the people testify being saved this morning? Somewhere they heard Jesus saves. Somewhere at some time they placed their faith in him. And you know what they found out? Jesus saves. And just like we were testifying of his saving grace this morning, imagine if we move that out into our businesses, into our daily interactions, into our Monday through Saturday, and our interactions in our community, and the highways and hedges and streets and lanes. You know what we need to do is take our worship service and transplant it where you're working tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen.
And then actively, systematically take our worship services and transplant them in our community as we sow the gospel. Say, well, what in the world would cause you to want to come into my neighborhood this morning? You're not a Mormon and you're not a Jehovah's False Witness. What has motivated you? Well, God's moving. The real one. The true one. And because he's moving, we cannot sit still. Somebody say amen. You ever had a case of the can't help it? You know what happens? You can't help it. I got to talk about Jesus, and talk about Jesus we do. And so take it personally. We're going to be preaching through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians on Sunday nights, on Wednesday nights. We're going to be concluding with an altar of prayer. And I have in my hand this little bookmark-esque type thing. And I'm going to give you one of these tonight. And this is what it says. It says, souls I'm praying for. And below that it says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 1:8.
And below that it says, Making Christ Known, Catoosa Baptist Tabernacle. On the back of that is a gospel presentation. But here's my going to be my challenge to you. My challenge to you is going to be take one of these things and begin to jot down the names of the people that you're praying for that's lost. And then for those who are not participating in the Kids for Truth or youth meeting or youth club on Wednesday night, bring this in with you on Wednesday night, and we're going to lay these on the altar, the last thing we do together as a church on Wednesday night, and we're going to pray for these souls together every Wednesday night. God helping us that we're together this calendar year. Listen, folks, I believe it is but a matter of time that God in heaven begins to dent the darkness of our county and our community through the work of Catoosa Baptist Tabernacle. How many of y'all want to be a part of denting the darkness? Amen. Making a difference, shining the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. At this time, I'd like to have a couple of men come help me. If I can have Brother Rick and Brother Craig and Brother Mark and Brother Jonathan and Brother Jeremy and Brother Greg, I'll let you other men sit there. I want y'all to take a stack of calendars, please, and I'd like to get one calendar in every single household, at least one calendar in every single household. And so if these men come by your pew and they make these calendars off, or if they offer these calendars to you, please get one for your household, please. As they're getting the calendars out to you, I had a simple idea this past fall. Every year, Miss Joan ordered a stack of calendars similar to the one that you hold in your hand that some of our people would get each year. And then we were printing a separate calendar that I was passing out on vision service night for the events and the dates of the church in the year. And so I said to her, why don't we simply combine the two and let's make a personalized church calendar with all of our dates and activities. And then, as we got the ball rolling, I was talking to Miss Serena. Miss Serena suggested that next year we make it even more personal and we try to have pictures that are directly connected to our church from 2020. And so, Lord willing, if Jesus don't come back in 2021, you will have a calendar for our church that will be so personalized. You'll have pictures of our church, pictures of people in our church that will connect each month and the activities of that month in a personal way to our church this upcoming calendar year. But I, for one, think this is a beautiful upgrade. Do you agree? And I'm thankful that we have it. We do have one disappointing announcement about it, and that is that they did not put a hole in it. And so we will have to make one. And we have hole punches bought if you'd like to do that. Those are good. Anywhere y'all set them are fine. Thank you. If you for some reason or some way missed the calendar, please let me know. Now let me quickly skim with y'all what is in our calendar, and I want you to understand this. Things that I think are important. First of all the dates for our outreaches are going to be in the calendar. The dates for our two church meetings are in the calendar. Our mission revivals, April the 19th to the 22nd. Our jubilees, the September the 27th to the 30th. All the dates for observing the Lord's Supper together are in the calendar. All the dates for our pioneer meetings are in the calendar. All the dates for our ladies' meetings are in the calendar. All the dates for our leadership meetings are in the calendar. The dates for our vacation Bible school are in the calendar. The dates for our monthly youth services are in the calendar. The dates for the adult choir practices are in the calendar. The dates for our Kids for Truth and youth group, when they start, when they end, are in the calendar. And the dates for our senior trips are all in the calendar. Now, I think sometimes people may think that it is an overreach to some degree for a pastor to share with the church calendar, and to encourage the church to prioritize the church calendar inside their personal lives and in their homes. And so this is what I would ask. I would ask you to consider the reason why I take what we're doing so seriously.
I want you just to think about it. Why would I take what we're doing together as a church so seriously? And the answer is going to be reduced to two simple answers. Number one, the glory of my Savior is at stake. Number two, the souls of men, women, and boys and girls are at stake. The glory of the Lord is at stake, and the souls of men, women, boys, and girls are at stake. It's going to be hard for me to apologize to ask you to prioritize what God is doing when I think what God is doing on this globe is the most weightiest matter we handle on a weekly, monthly, annual basis of our lives. Amen? In other words, I get the sense that it might really bother people that I beg you as your pastor, please, when it comes to our two meetings in the year, our mission revival and our jubilee, please see if the Lord will allow you, direct you, lead you to schedule your vacations as a family one of the other 50 weeks in the year. How many of y'all think that's a fair ask? Now, it might be that God will not lead you to do that. But I don't think I would be very smart if I didn't ask you guys, just look, it's 4 days, one Sunday and three Wednesdays, two times a year. Would you go right now in advance and say, you ain't touching this? And tell everybody that tries to get you to do something on those 2 weeks, you ain't touching this. My church is having a meeting. And by God's grace, these 8 days, those 8 evenings, I'm going to be at that meeting. Because I think it's important what God is doing in our church. How many of y'all think that's fair? I say what other wise men have said ahead of me, failing to plan is planning to fail. What gets scheduled gets done. I need to hurry so I can conclude tonight. But let me tell you in a pastor's life how things work. In a pastor's life, me, my wife, and my 5 children, our schedule is based around what God is doing in the church. How many of you know that? It's all Brother Justin, you're a pastor, you should do that. Here's the crazy thing about being a pastor. If you don't have people to pastor, it don't really matter what you're doing. Now raise your hand if you draw a fair connection there. In other words, imagine having a pastor and his family completely structuring the dictates of their daily life around what God is doing at his church. But then imagine that that pastor don't have a church that's doing the same thing. Why would anybody be doing it if we're not doing that together? Because a pastor's not a pastor for himself. A pastor's a pastor for the Lord and for the Lord's people. Would you agree? And so, our church meetings are not my meetings. Our church meetings are our meetings. Does that make sense? Our church activities are not my activities. They're our activities. And all I'm doing is asking you as your pastor, will you prioritize what we're doing as a church like you prioritize other areas of importance in your life? And then I want to follow that up. How many of y'all think that's a fair ask? How many of y'all believe that's a fair ask? What gets scheduled gets done. I'm giving you a schedule in the second week of this calendar year for you to look out in advance and look at any areas where there might be tension and to try to figure out where and when you can. I know it's impossible for everything to fall together. I get that, and I will not be upset. I promise you that is not my goal in what I'm saying tonight. My goal is to get as many of us that will to take personal and to take serious the work of God in our church and to connect together and unite together to serve the Lord through our local church. And all God's people said, amen. I would ask you to consider the reason why I take what we're doing so seriously, and then I would say this to you. We give far greater consideration to far less in our lives. Would you agree? God help us together to prioritize our church calendar, our meetings together, our ministry together, our activities together, so that we can do what we're doing together. That's our theme. That's our calendar. Back in the fall of our year, me and the deacons were talking together about some areas of need in our church from a project standpoint. And I think many of you are probably going to already recognize the things that I'm fixing to mention to you. As I mentioned them to you tonight, I mentioned so as a communication purpose and a prayer purpose to ask you to go ahead and begin praying with us about two primary projects that we're going to have to work on by God's grace at some time during this calendar year. You'll probably notice that we got our carpet separating in a couple of places inside the auditorium. And you've probably already noticed that we've got several places in our halls where our carpet is mounded up and becoming a trip hazard. And so our desire at this, sometime at the point of this year, we're going to be looking at the first half of this year. Our desire is to put new carpet down in the halls and the auditorium. Of course, we'll have to have a meeting about that as a church and vote on it as a church. But I want you to know right now that it needs to be done. And we need to be praying now about what needs to be done in the days ahead in our church. We need to replace the carpet in our auditorium, replace the carpet in our halls so that we can eliminate the trip hazards and so that we can take what we have and keep it as nice as we have it to now, as we have it tonight. Also, we're going to be looking at putting new flooring in our bathrooms, in our baptism rooms. Currently, we're trying to schedule multiple times a year to have them come in and have them waxed and sealed and buffed. And so there's routine maintenance that is with that every single year that we have to pay for. And it's getting harder to find people that are doing that and without making a mess when they do it. And so if we're able to replace the floors in our bathrooms and replace the floors in our baptism rooms, we can eliminate that annual maintenance, make it like the Family Life Center, and have it something that we can keep up on a regular basis. We'll probably be looking at putting tile down in the bathroom, in the baptism rooms. Also, you'll probably notice, because some of you have mentioned to us these things, that the hall has got a lot of scuffs and that our bathrooms have a lot of scuffs and that they need painted like we painted some of the Sunday school rooms this past year. Well, we're going to be looking at trying to paint all the hall of our church and paint the bathrooms in our church so, again, we can keep the kept appearance. So we're looking at trying to replace the carpet in the auditorium and the carpet in the halls to eliminate the trip hazards and to get the places where separation is occurring out of the way so that it looks nice and kept. The same thing with the new flooring in the bathrooms and the baptismal rooms, and as well with the painting of the halls and the painting of the bathrooms. And so I just want you to begin praying with me now about that, because it's coming up and it's something that we're going to have to look at doing as a church. And I'm going to want us to pray about it, and then we're going to have special times of offerings that we will be able to give an offering specifically designated to these things, and we'll do that together as a church. Also, you've probably already noticed that our lines are faded in our parking lot. Last year, we looked at the stripes. We looked at sealing and striping our parking lot, along with a lot of other things that we had coming in at the same time, and we did what we could to get through last year, but we're going to need to seal and to stripe our parking lot this upcoming year to keep it as functional and usable as we possibly can, because we want to maintain what we have. Would you agree? And so there's two projects that I want you to be praying for right now, and knowing that down the line of this year, more likely than not, we're going to be coming to you. We'll be going over expenses with you. We'll be talking about these things together as a church, taking formal votes, and we'll also be having offerings specifically designated to raise money to help with the costs of putting carpet down, putting flooring down in our bathrooms, in our baptismal rooms, painting the halls, etc. So please begin now to pray with us about those things. I also want to make mention of something that I made mention to our choir and our instrumentalists this morning. Beginning next Sunday, as a church, we're going to slightly adjust our order of service on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I wanted to cover this with you as a church now so that when you come in this upcoming Sunday and things are slightly different Sunday morning and Sunday night, you'll know why we're doing it this way and that we're all prepared to do it this way together as a church. So here is a slight change in our order of service for Sunday morning and Sunday night. Brother Eddie will continue to open up in a song. So we'll begin our meeting at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning and 6 p.m. on Sunday evening with Brother Eddie calling the service together, asking us to join in song together. And after Brother Eddie leads us in prayer, I want to welcome everyone that's in the meeting both that morning and that evening and lead the church in prayer and immediately turn the service back over to Brother Eddie, who will then in turn lead the choir in singing both Sunday morning and Sunday night. When the choir comes down is when we're going to have our fellowship. So instead of having the time of fellowship at the beginning of the meeting, we're going to have our time of fellowship when the choir comes down. Now, as a pastor, I've done this way in the church I came from, and I've done what we're doing right now as a church, and I preferred what we're doing right now as a church for a couple of reasons over the way I've actually asked it to be changed for this upcoming calendar year. And there's a few reasons why I'm asking for us to change and make this simple change, and here's the reason why. During the time of shaking hands and during the time of fellowship is a great natural time in the meeting. If you need to take your children to the restroom or you as an adult need to go to the restroom, that would be the most ample time to quickly slide out. You know it's coming. When the choir comes down, you can quickly slide out. Now, what I'm actually trying to do is give you an opportunity as moms and dads and give you an opportunity as grandparents to kind of train our children to say, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to be as still as we can for the first 25 minutes of the service while the choir's singing. And then when the choir comes down, we're going to go try to get our little wiggles out and use the restroom and come back. And we want to be seated for the next 30 to 45 minutes of our service, because when whoever's preaching that morning, if it's pastor or pastor's got somebody invited in to bring the message, we want to be as still as we possibly can in the meeting. And so I'm trying to give you moms who I know are fighting an uphill battle, because me and my wife has raised five children in church, to have an opportunity in the service to where you don't have to get up at an inopportune time, and give you a framework to train your children around. And also for some of you adults that might get a little bit squirmy and wormy toward the end, you'll have an opportunity to slide out as well and use the restroom. And so keep this in mind. Our time of fellowship is going to be moved from the first part of the meeting down to when the choir comes down. So this upcoming Sunday, when the choir comes down on Sunday morning, will be when we have our time of fellowship. Now here's how we're going to conclude our time of fellowship. You're going to begin to hear Brother Eddie leading our church in a verse of song. And when you hear that verse of song, you know that we're kind of getting back settled in and that we're fixing to have the point in time in which we're going to receive the offering in our service. After the offering is received, and we're going to have a special song that will be sung. The message will be delivered. The invitation will be given. And then after the invitation, announcements will be given. So the biggest changes in our order of service is going to be when we do the time of fellowship and when we take the offering. I told Brother Steve on Wednesday night, I said, Brother Steve, it kills me that every single Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, you and a handful of men miss our choir every week. You never get to hear the choir sing. You never get to hear the special sing. And as a pastor, I want them to be able to experience it. I want them to be able to be a part of the first part of our meeting. And so this upcoming Sunday, you're going to see Brother Steve in the choir. He's fired up about singing in the choir again. And all jokes aside, I'm excited about two things. Number one, I give those men an opportunity not to be out of the meeting, not to be out of the first part of the meeting every single week. And I'm trying to give a natural opportunity to your moms and dads and grandmoms and granddads to kind of structure the hour and 15, hour and 30 minutes we share together. And hey, look, I'm all for what I'm fixing to say, and you already know this. All orders of service is a way for us to constructively conduct the meeting Sunday morning, Sunday night. But anytime God does something unusual or unique, we obviously are going to go with that. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And so it's just an order of service for that purpose. So keep that in mind. That'll be kicking off this upcoming weekend. And then I want to make a mention about this, and I think this is important. 7 minutes after seven, how many of y'all are still tracking women tonight? Our security team is something that started about 2 years ago in our church. I thought it was important then. I think it is important now. I have to be careful about what I say because I don't want to cause people to live their lives in panic and fear, but I do want to say this, that I believe that demonic activity is going to do nothing but increase between here and heaven. And I believe existential threats are going to do nothing but increase between here and heaven. And I believe that we have the responsibility, I specifically feel the responsibility from the Lord to not be caught sitting on my hands. We've got two men in our church that have took great pains to organize a security team in our church, and I want y'all to know what I'm fixing to say. These men have been commissioned by us for the sake of keeping us safe Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. These men are trained. These men are trained with the weapons they use. They're trained with scenarios that may occur. A lot of them are background in law enforcement or background in military. And so it's not some, what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe rinky-dink, me just getting all the hunters together and saying, you know, let's take care of our people. And everybody being scared to death about who the security team is. These are people that I trust. I trust greatly. They train twice a year, specifically with the weapons that they carry. The weapons that they carry are concealed. They're not brandished. Our focus when we come to church together is worship. That's where the emphasis is at. In this tone, if someone was to ever, in one of our meetings, pose a threat, here's what I'm going to ask of you. I'm going to ask of you to yield to the 12, I believe it's 12 plus trained men that we have in our church. And your number one priority is to get down. And let those who are trained take care of the problem. Are you listening? You say, Brother Justin, this is awful weird you having this conversation. Well, peace is being pulled from our beloved America. And I, for one, want to be as responsible as I can with our church, because you people matter to the Lord, you matter to us. And I don't want to be sitting here foolishly and recklessly thinking nothing will ever happen, because, my friends, it's happening. And we'll be the church that it happens in, thinking nothing will happen because we're not prepared. And I want y'all to know right now, for the sake of your own peace of mind, that we are working to be prepared. We've got responsible people in place that have took their responsibilities seriously, and they've trained, and they have prepared themselves for any time a threat may occur. And what we need to do in the wake of a threat is simply to get down and yield to others that are taking care of the matters at hand. How many of y'all say that makes sense tonight? Let me also go on to say, if you see a couple of these men get up in church, let them take care of it. In other words, if you have a two-minute conversation with your neighbor about wonder what's going on, it ain't really going to change what's going on. Their goal is actually to minimize the disruptions in the service, not to create the disruptions in the service. And so when they get out to take care of business, we're going to let them take care of their business. I'm going to try to keep taking care of my business. And I want all of you to know that business is being took care of so that we can all keep our focus on what it needs to be when we meet Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Does that make sense? So just keep in mind that we've got a trained security staff here at our church that are prepared to eliminate a threat to our church in any given service, and I think that is important. So our theme for this year is making Christ known. Our theme verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, for from you sent out the word of the Lord. Our theme emphasis is that we are wanting to make a dent in the darkness, the 59% lostness of our county. We're going to begin a training for our high school, college, and careers and all of our adult Bible classes on the matter of taking the Great Commission and personalizing it, owning and obeying the Great Commission. Lord willing, we're going to preach together through the first and second Epistle of Thessalonians on Sunday night. Again, we'll be emphasizing through song the theme. On Wednesday night, we're going to take our list, our card of who we're praying for, lay that on the altar, and pray that God in heaven will give us souls.
You've got our calendar in your hands tonight. Please go ahead when you go home tonight. Look over the calendar. Try as best as you possibly can. And again, I'm not trying to be overbearing there. I'm just pleading with you to prioritize what we have going on as a church. Know that we've got multiple projects coming up this year as a church that I would like us to tackle together that we actually just think are needful. Actually, maintenance that needs to be done on our building and on our facilities and on our property to keep things as nice as we've been able to enjoy them for the prior two decades since y'all built them and first moved into them. Begin to pray with us now about that and know that we're going to be looking to take special offerings toward that. Consider that our order of service is going to change slightly next Sunday. We're going to be moving around the fellowship time, moving around the offering time, and trying to put the focus in the meetings where they should be, and that's on God's word and God's presence and God's work being accomplished. Our security team and staff are in place for safety measures for your purpose and for God's purpose, but for your protection, and so please keep that in mind. And then I've got a list, yes?
We do have a medical team.
Yes, we do. We also have a medical team for the exact same purpose. If we have a medical issue inside the church, that we've got a group of people that are also trained in taking care of medical issues as well. Thank you very much. I want to say this. I've got a list of about multiple dozens of things that God in heaven's enabled us to do together as a church. I just wanted to close with this final statement. This is not my church, and it is not your church. This is our church. God has brought us together to follow Him together and be used of Him together to make a difference in our life, in our times, in our community. Let's rally around what God Himself is doing in the midst of our church. Amen. Thank you for being in your place tonight. Thank you for your faithfulness to our Savior. Thank you for your faithfulness to the church, to one another. I can do nothing but encourage what God has already begun and what God is already doing in this place. Let's pray together, and we've got a few more things to do, and we're done. Father, as we come to you in Jesus' name, we thank you for this time together tonight as your people. I pray, Father, when they leave here tonight, that each one of us have on our hearts this matter of taking personally, this matter of making Christ known, making your Son known, being a channel, a vessel of mercy, in your hands used and utilized for your glory. We need you. We know ahead of time we can do nothing without you. Knit our hearts together in the love of Christ. And just for a moment, we want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for how you have so richly blessed us in this place together as your people. Unite us around what you're doing so that we can do it with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.